begin takeoff procedure.
You're listening to the Gold Squadron Podcast, your home for X-Wing discussion, strategy, and entertainment.
This is episode 77 of the Gold Squadron Podcast. I'm your host, Dion Morales. And today, I'm joined by Italics, William Haywood, Italics.
Hey!
And yes, I know that you might, you guys who are watching live, might be a little concerned because I have a Minox Squadron shirt on. I've lost 35 pounds and I actually fit in this shirt now, so I wanted to wear it. So
congratulations, man.
Yeah. Woo, getting swole. It's, you know, stream season's coming up. Got to look good. I think that's really what's motivating me. It's a lot of fun. So today we're going to be covering a myriad of topics. It is just me and Will today, but we got this. We got this. Everything's going to be okay. We're going to be talking about the Gold Squadron Classic because it is this weekend and all the implications that that has on the competitive scene. We're, of course, going to talk about the app because we can't not talk about the app. And we're also going to do a quick touch on some of the future OP structures, including audio from X-Wing developer Alex Davey. Now, before we go too far, I do need to address something here, okay? I gotta address something to the Minox, okay? First, I'd like to start by formally accepting Ryan Farmer's apology. Like, it was truly heartfelt. If you have not listened to the last episode, you need to go do that, because he starts with a wonderful, absolutely heartfelt rendition of "You're Welcome," dedicated to me, and I thank you. Thank you, Ryan. I mean, as a music teacher, I was like cringing because it was pretty out of tune the whole time. But at like the other half of me was just smiling with glee the entire time. So worth a listen for sure. The beef has been squashed. Beef out. Now, Coach Kroll, he was the guest on that episode. I have to respond here. He started giving me some beef. He's like, you know, we gave Dion time on the show, and they're doing this whole, like, Dion didn't show up thing. No. I will pull out the text messages. I have evidence, okay? Coach. OCX, by the way, if you don't listen to them, lots of fun. Take a listen. Will, this is what he did. He's like, hey, Dion, you want to be on the show on Wednesday? I was like, yeah. I told him, let me know. Let me know the time, and I'll be there. The guy never sends me a time. Like, I'm just supposed to wait up?
So you're telling me OCX is unorganized?
Exactly. So, love you, Coach, but I'm just saying, like, I was ready. I was playing at our Wednesday night game, and I was like, hey, just send me a message, man. Just send me a message. But it's all right. Love you, Coach. All right, let's go ahead and start talking about the Gold Squadron Classic, Will, because that's our weekend upcoming, man.
I'm super excited.
Give me some of those details. When, where, all the stuff. How?
It's the 22nd, this Saturday. You can register at goldsquadronpodcast.com. Is there still spots open?
No. I know. Sold out.
Sold out. Oh, no. You can't register. You missed your opportunity.
You can waitlist yourself, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect, then. Also, we got a cash bar. I got food. And it is at the Moose Lodge.
Yep. Berwyn Moose Lodge.
Berwyn.
Yeah, like this. I want you guys to really get an understanding of what the whole Gold Squadron Classic is. Like, it's definitely an X-Wing event. That's how it started. Like, Ron's like, we're definitely going to do X-Wing. We know it's going to be the biggest thing. It'll probably sell out. It did. But also, thank you for the bits, man. Piggle McWiggles. It's more than just that. We're running Legion, Destiny, these really cool. If you're into the Star Wars RPG, like let's say you missed that on the X-Wing, there's still stuff for you here to do. The one-shot RPGs is probably the thing that I'm most excited about. There's only 16 spots for that total. They're doing Keith Kappel. He's one of the writers for that. Piggle McWiggles. You hear all those little dings? He's throwing us bits. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. We're doing these RPG one-shots with one of the writers of the RPG. He's doing two closed sessions, 8 people in each. And the times just got announced today. I know it's like close, but we were pretty confident that these are going to fill up. So if you're into that RPG, you got to get in now. And also X-Wing, if you drop out of X-Wing, which you shouldn't. You should really play all the way to the end. We got prizes for everybody. That's something you can maybe jump into. L5R, Armada, Imperial Assault, Star Wars card game, and Dragon Ball Super. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. Like, this is Gold Con, Will. This is like the first Gold Con without being called Gold Con.
I'm super excited, though. I'm a big RPG fan, and I almost didn't play X-Wing because I love role playing so much, but I'm gonna play some X-Wing though. It's gonna be great.
Yep, and I do have to mention Piggle McWiggles. I don't know if I should call out. Can I tell people who you are, Piggle McWiggles, in the chat? Let me know. He says that he's mad at me. You might have a clue. He said that he's mad at me for not telling him about the RPGs, like me not directly calling him up. And saying, Nami, it's Nami from the Carolina Crates. Hey, Nami, we're doing this RPG one-shots. Make sure you get over there. Thank you, Noobs89, for the bits. But yeah, man, we're super excited about the Gold Squadron Classic. This is really something that's going to scale and escalate. Next year, the plan is for 2 days. And it eventually, I mean, the goal is to give it kind of like a low-key con feel. Like, we probably won't do... I mean, I can't say who knows? Like, there's a lot of things in the process, a lot of wheels turning, and we're super excited for what's going to be happening. Now, I want to take a second and talk about prizes. Like, there's going to be trophies. We have raffles for all this stuff. But I got in hand, right here, the templates. And I'll tell you that they are, they're so pretty.
What?
Yeah. There's a range one and two here, too, but it's not a...
Big question for you. Yeah. Are they all pre-painted, or is just that set?
They're all pre-painted, baby.
That's so nice.
All ready to go. The only thing you'll have to do, there's going to be some little, like, from the painting, little, like, pieces you got to take out, but they look so good. This is my personal set for all the, you know, all the work and stuff like that. This one's mine because I'm not playing. Somebody asked in the chat, are you going to be commentating? Yes, I will be commentating the entire time. This is a work day for me. I'm going to be there for you, X-Wing community. It's time to work. Okay, so that's going to be tons of fun. And you know, Will, this really applies to you, this next point here. You know, the Gold Squadron Classic is going to be the first major event before Coruscant. So, you know, what do you think some of the data that we get from this event is going to kind of help you out, give you some ideas for what you plan to do for Coruscant?
Definitely. Now, Coruscant does have some restrictions, so it might prevent the, like, say, if there's a standout list, but if it's not eligible for Coruscant, that could throw a wrench into things. But it's definitely something that I'm looking at because I'm pretty excited for Coruscant and would hope to do well.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how this all shakes out. I know there's a lot of people anticipating just getting more competitive second edition content out there. We will be recording 6 games of competitive X-Wing that people can really take and start to analyze, look at lists, see how people reacted when they saw each other. We're going to do a full breakdown of stats and all that because people want to know, because they're like we've talked about before, there's no more list juggler, right? They haven't currently made the transition to second edition yet. The current thing is that they're not going to, but I think that they can, because yet another squad builder still exists, and you can still build squads in there. Like, I think there's, if there's a will, there's a way. We'll see what happens in the future here. But yeah.
Do you think we'll still make a list juggler page so that people still input their lists?
The problem is that it's not going to populate the same way. I need to figure out. I have how many days now? Today's Tuesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I got 4 days to figure out how to get all the lists in there, because that is definitely something I want to do, is every list in the Gold Squadron Classic is going to be public knowledge. Like, I'm going to put it all out there. Boom. Here's what people flew. I'm going to try to do some like breakdowns and math and pretty graphs for y'all. Should be a good time. We'll find out. And like, that's that kind of data I know people really, really want. They want some more data points, because we're going to have, you know, we'll have the Gold Squadron Classic. We'll have the Crossroads Classic 3, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Then we have, you know, we have Coruscant. Coruscant's before Crossroads. I mean, just getting more data and just starting to understand the meta, right?
Yeah, I have so many meta questions about, like, what... like, can an ace carry a game anymore? Like, how... or should we just all be looking at efficiency? There's so many... And how that breaks down, there's so many questions.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's the Wild West. Like, the only thing we have to go off of is our personal preconceived notions and what we see on Facebook and Reddit. Now, there are a lot of people who post on there. There's a lot of discussion about Swarms and Supernatural Vader. Like, those are like some of the big things you see thrown around, but we don't really know. Like, it's even just taking what we see in internet chats is just a bisection of the overall meta or what it might be. Excuse me. And yeah, I'm just excited to see how that how that all shakes out. So I want to take some time now and talk about the Gold Squadron Classic FAQ. Now, it's going to be published tomorrow morning. We still have a couple of things that we need to tidy up, but I want to talk about it because people are going to be wondering how we rule this stuff. So give me a moment to pull this up. Will, entertain the people.
I don't know.
Got him.
I got it. You already got it.
There.
All right. Well. Okay, you got it.
All right. Cool.
I was just gonna ask what's the best ace right now? Is Vader? Can Luke overcome Vader as the ace?
I think,
or are we looking more like, honestly, like Fat Han, or like a Boba Fett as being the premier, like, unkillable ship?
Yeah, I mean, we don't if Vader had boost, I think it would be without a doubt. You just take it's Vader, right? Because then you could supernatural boost, not just supernatural barrel roll. Like, the fact that Luke can supernatural boost or barrel roll by having those wings closed for the boost, it really gives him so many, like, it gives him just more supernatural possibilities, and you combine that with the possibilities of different maneuvers and all that. I mean, I don't know. I think Luke is probably the best defensive ace, and Vader is maybe the best offensive, just with the target lock and being able to have that extra die that turns into a crit. And a lot of people are putting fire control system on him, and you got that reroll. I mean, he's going to hit hard. for sure.
That makes sense. That's the that's what Luke lacks is being able to reroll often.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the Gold Squadron Classic FAQ. Now, we I want to preface this by saying that none of this, until we get to actually the very bottom, because FFG did release something, literally it was about like a couple hours ago, Will.
Yeah, I would try to keep up on it, but I haven't read through it.
Yeah. So besides that, everything here is unofficial and has been decided between our Gold Squadron Classic judging staff and our marshal for the event is Andrew. Sorry, I'm forgetting his last name all of a sudden. Give me a second. It's coming. Wow. Was just... Sorry. No, it's not Andrew. Sorry. Oh, my God. His name's Michael. Michael Juris. Yeah. Sorry, Andrew. Yeah. Where did I get Andrew from? I'm tired. It's been a long day.
No, yeah, Michael's a good good judge. He normally judges in Chicago, judged at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm. He's a very, very, very as by the books as you can get. And here are some of the things that that we talked about. Some might seem obvious to you guys. For others, maybe not so much. So, Will, give us that first one right there.
All right. So, can you link action off an action? Can you link action off an action given to you from another card effect? Yes, as long as you are not stressed. So that would be coordinating somebody. That would be a supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the only way. Yeah, I think that's it. Maybe some corner cases in there, but those are the two main ways: supernatural and coordinating.
Yeah, and I think what people were getting hung up on with this, not necessarily this ruling, but this question, is in first edition we have this whole thing about free actions, right? We had free actions in first edition. In second edition, free actions don't exist. It's simply do this action. Like the word free action doesn't exist. So the way linked actions work, if you take a look in the rules reference, this is taken directly from there, it actually clearly says that you can link action off of other card effects that give you actions, as long as it is labeled an action.
I have just one question on that because it came up in a game I was playing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Lambda shuttle called Lieutenant Sai. Okay. Their pilot ability says after you perform a coordinate action, if the ship you chose performed an action on your action bar, may you perform that action. Now, we got hung up on this of if you coordinate a link boost, a boost linked focus. Does that count for Lieutenant Sai? If the ship you, her wording is, if the ship you chose performed an action on your action bar, do linked actions count as like the same thing, I guess? Like as if they're one action?
After you perform a coordinate. That's a great question. We're gonna have to make a call on that. I mean, I'm not the final say. My gut would say yes. Like, mm-hmm. I would say that Lieutenant Sai would get the focus token.
Yeah, that's how I was ruling it, but I couldn't find anything that was ruling against that.
Right.
But like that might just be a corner case about linked actions. It's a whole linked actions, a whole new thing, and I think it's just confusing everybody. Everybody's kind of possibly overthinking it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that coordinating to or supernatural to linked action makes perfect sense.
Exactly. So next ruling here is: do ships suffer the effect of rigged cargo when it is dropped on another ship? And the answer is no. your ship must move through it. So rig cargo is a obstacle. That's how we're... I know that it, there's that whole thing where like, oh, it's listed in the devices and that one rules reference sheet. We're deciding that it is an obstacle, so you do have to move through it. So there's no possibility of double stressing somebody with a rig cargo. You drop it on them, you move the ship, you put it down, and then once that ship moves, that's when they'll have to get that stress and roll the die. So yes, I guess we nerfed. Some people might say we nerfed rig cargo shoot. It's for your own good, for your own safety.
Yeah, it's super fair that way, actually. We didn't realize how unfair it was in first edition.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good. Especially that whole thing if they revealed a red maneuver, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're still going to end up getting double. Like, if you drop it on them, using our ruling here, you drop it on them, they reveal the red maneuver, they're still going to end up double stressed, but they at least get to turn around. There's not that whole, like, oh, now you're forced to do a two straight because you were stressed when you did your maneuver, you know, before you even knew it was going to happen. So that's the decision there. All right, Will, go ahead, take the next one.
Next one is, can I shoot in the same direction using, or excuse me, can I shoot in the same direction twice using veteran turret gunner? Veteran turret gunner lets you shoot your turret arc after you perform a primary attack. And the answer is yes. The turret is not printed on your pilot sheet, and it is not actually considered one of those angles. It's not like a forward arc. It's not considered any other particular arc because it is a mobile one. So it works, if you're a Y-Wing, it kind of works like how BTL used to work. I mean, you shoot primary, then shoot the turret. Yep. I think what Ghost could probably do that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so that's that was a point of debate with people. Even we actually got, I would say not we, I got that wrong. It was one of those things where I was like, I wasn't sure at first, but one of the clarity things that FFG gave us today actually makes it clear that whenever they show turret symbol, even if it's overlapping an arc printed on anywhere else, like, they're not considered the same. The turret is, like Will said, completely different from the arc. They just will share that same triangle line. All right, next one here is, can I choose to fail a lock? And the answer is no. No, you cannot. Stop it. Stop with your composure BS. You know what you're trying. You're trying to just be like, oh, I do a target lock. I choose not to target lock anybody. No, you have to choose a legal target at range 0-3, except for yourself. You can't do yourself. Legal targets include enemy ships, friendly ships, and obstacles. It is really hard, really, really hard to fail a target lock. Like,
it's possible, but you have to be in almost the corner of the board, and the obstacles are set up on the right, all the way on the other side.
So they'll stop it. I know. Well, I have composure on my E-Wing. No, stop it. Definitely, if you're in an E-Wing, you will never fail a target lock. Ever. Ever. You always have something. Unless, like, all the rocks are blowing up. And you got one ship, enemy ship left, and they're at range one. That's the only way you'll ever... So you can save your composure for that time. Don't put composure on an E-Wing. It's bad. Okay?
All right, we'll move on to Space Tug Tractor Array. It says, you cannot fail if there is a legal target, including friendly ships. Does count as a failed action if there's no legal targets. So that includes if you accidentally put a medium-based ship in your bullseye. If it was a friendly ship, it's getting to... Well, you don't have to move it, though, but it is definitely still getting those tractor beam tokens.
Yeah, don't be... You'd be so sad.
Well, yeah. I guess they don't stack, though. So that wouldn't be too bad, but...
Yeah, the whole argument here, the reason why this got brought up is it essentially goes under that same premise with, can you fail a target lock? it's that same idea. Like if there is something within the legal parameters of this trigger, of this effect, you have to do it. And that whole like friendly ships makes people sad. And it is considered a failed action. The reason why we had to put that in there is like card effects or like ship abilities were not listed under the failed action list, like as a possibility. So we're just clarifying, yes, that is considered a failed action. You don't get to, you know, try it. Oh, I didn't get it, but it's not a failure because it's on this. No, that doesn't work that way. We're not.
This does. We will not this does it. Make me think of something, and I know I'm hitting you with curveballs here.
That's fine. I'm in.
When you coordinate, do you select a ship or do you measure four ships at range two?
I'm hitting that out of the park because I researched that.
There you go.
The coordinate action tells you to measure to. You can measure to all friendly ships. And if really? There is a legal target at range two, they get it. They can coordinate. Now, if there's not, you have failed the action. One of our buddies, our locals, James Sanghuro, in one of our games that he was playing against me, brought Hera with the Sheetipede docked with composure and was purposefully triggering that action, that free coordinate. It's a free coordinate action, but that coordinate action that it gets when you have that shuttle docked on purpose in order to get that extra focus. It was pretty interesting. I did end up winning that game, but it was fun.
Was there not a legal target at range two then?
Or yeah, at the time there wasn't. He was flying it with an X-Wing. I think it was Wedge. So Wedge was outside. Wedge was at like range three.
That's not a bad combo, actually.
Mm-mm. So Hera was ending up with focus, like focus target lock, essentially, whenever she wanted to. Not to mention her moving in different directions. It was pretty cheeky. Yeah. I was entertained.
Oh, and if Wes just so happens to be in range two, I guess he could have a free action.
Yeah, like here's a target lock or a focus.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Mm-mm. Next one here has been a point of big contention. The Lando Falcon title and the escape craft shield usage. So, you may use these shields as if they were on the YT-1300 card, essentially whenever you feel like it. So we are saying that, yes, you can selectively choose when to spend those shields. Because it's like the way it's worded, and that's all we have to go off of, we've decided that you can, for instance, deal yourself hits, right? Let's say the roll coming in is a hit and a crit, and you have no shields on your Falcon card. You can choose to not use that effect for the first card damage. Here's a card, and here comes the crit. Now we'll take the shield. That's what we decided. We'll see how angry the internet gets.
That should be how it works, especially if you have L3 crew on your Lando and you don't want shields anymore.
Yep. Yeah, it's definitely like the debate that we did have amongst ourselves was whether or not you could, like, when did you have to choose that you were going to use those? Like, whether it was before you started dealing damage or could you do it? Could you split up the damage? We decided that you could split up the damage. That was our final call. We'll see what FFG ends up doing. I understand that the argument that some people are having is like, well, shields don't work that way. Like, you have to do the shields first and then cards. But I think that word may is what lets you get that kind of different effect, which is essentially what pilot abilities are, right? Pilot abilities allow you to kind of bend and break rules for that specific person.
I mean, it's at a minimum an 18-point upgrade. So you're paying for it. You should be able to use it effectively.
Absolutely. What's our next one there?
If you lose an do you lose your action if you adaptive ailerons over an asteroid? And the consensus is yes.
Mm-hmm. Just the way that the adaptive ailerons is worded and the way that the obstacle effects are worded, they essentially use the same exact text. It's like after executing a maneuver, and it shows like you have to execute this maneuver. We said yes. So don't do any weird things.
It's not, it's definitely a change, but it makes sense.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next one here is, do you spend a second charge on cluster missiles to perform the bonus attack against the second target? The answer is yes. Now, I will say, whenever anybody asks me this question, which came up quite a few times, it is literally in the rules reference. This exact question and answer under the charges, I believe, is the bonus attacks. Under bonus attacks, it is there. It says, for bonus attacks, you do have to pay the cost, again, including charges. So let's put this question to rest. You have to spend it for the second shot.
Yep, it makes sense. You go right back to the start of the cluster missile, which begins with spend a charge.
Mm-hmm. Next one.
It says, can you spend a token to modify zero results? No. Zero is not a number that you can call out or choose anymore. Can't choose zero, ever.
Nope, nope. Go ahead, take the next one, too.
All right, can I use collision detector to prevent the damage from a stunned pilot? No. It says here that the collision detector allows you to ignore the effects of the obstacle, not the critical damage card. And you still flew through the obstacle, thus triggering the stunned pilot effect.
Yeah, the other one that came up, which we're actually going to be adding tonight, is some people were trying to get cheeky and say, oh, I'm going to use collision detector to ignore the obstructed shot.
No.
No, that doesn't work.
we'll
put it in because I'm sure somebody will ask. But it's that's not how that works.
This should come up with like Han, Rebel Han and Kira crew, where Kira says you can ignore the obstacle. Just like Dash, I guess. Dash can ignore obstacles. And the lasers, the shot, can't ignore the obstacle. Just your ship. So it still will obstruct every time you shoot through, even if you're ignoring that particular obstacle.
Mm-hmm. Next one here is, if a TIE defender goes over an asteroid doing a 3-5 speed maneuver, does it still get an evade from full throttle? The answer is yes. Yes, it does. The reason is under the fully and partially executing maneuvers section in the rules reference, all it says is essentially that you have fully executed a maneuver if you go from one end of the template to the other without essentially bumping a ship. It only refers to ships. Doesn't talk anything about obstacles when it comes to fully or partially executing maneuvers. So, yes, that is an option. Mind you, they would still lose their perform action step. Like, that's different. That's a different thing. But they do get to do their evade from full throttle. But if they keep rolling over, they keep 4K-ing over rocks, just let them. That's fine. They're just going to kill themselves anyway.
Seems fine.
And give us that last one there from our list.
So, can I launch with either trajectory or death fire, or even Constable Zuvio? Can I launch a proximity mine or counter net using those trajectory simulators and things? No. Trajectory simulator specifies bombs. Only bombs can be launched.
Mm-hmm. And those other ones are mines. So under the devices, mines and bombs have been separated. That was one thing I know I was confused at first. So those are completely different. It's just a subcategory within devices. Now I want to go ahead and hit the rules that FFG sent out Coruscant invitees that give some official, now official, our first basically mini FAQ. They said that these entries are going to be part of a greater FAQ that is on the boat, for lack of a better term. Will, do you think we'll end up getting this FAQ before Coruscant?
Oh, man, I hope so. I mean, it's their premier event for 2.0, so, man, I'd really hope so. I mean, it might be the week of or the day of, but I assume they'll get it out. You said they got email? I didn't get no email.
Yep. Check again. Refresh.
I'm literally checking right now.
Alrighty. So we will put a link into the YouTube and podcast description so that you can, if you haven't found this on our Facebook or anything like that, other groups, Reddit, you can click it there. The first entry here, it says, can ships that only use the mobile turret or front arc, that's the first half, attacks, use effects that require the ship to perform a front arc, not full front arc, but front arc, that triangle in the front, attack. For example, fearlessness and outmaneuver. And the answer is a big fat no. Note the difference between the requirements of fearlessness. And essentially what they end up explaining is that the iconography has to match exactly. Just because the full front arc includes that triangle doesn't mean that one equals another. This is, I really like this clarification, because what FFG is doing is that they're clarifying the fact that their iconography matters, that these symbols are meant to match up. Like, if they don't match up exactly, like, if it's not the same, it's not the same, essentially. Will?
All right, so another thing that they clarified was when a ship with its turret arc indicator pointing to its forward arc performs a forward arc attack, has it also performed that turret arc? No. For example, if a ship equipped with veteran turret gunner performs a primary attack, could it use veteran turret gunner's ability to perform a turret attack even if the turret indicator is pointing forward? So we touched on that just a bit ago, that it should work no problem.
Mm-hmm. FFG goes on to just... I'm a little confused by why they started the sentence this way, but the question stated is, while locking, can a player not choose an object? And the answer starts with, maybe.
Weird.
I understand why they did it, because like Will, we were talking about, there's that corner case where if you have a ship all the way in the left corner and all the rocks are up there and there's no friendly ships, because you can lock friendly ships, there's nothing by you, then the answer is no. But most of the time the answer is the answer is yes, you can fail a target lock, but most of the time it's no. But anyway, their explanation is, while locking, a player must choose an object at range 0 to 3 if able. Thus, acquiring a lock only fails if there are no other objects at range 0 to 3. So just, again, reinforcing that idea.
So the answer should be no, you can't choose to fail a target lock, but can you fail a target lock? Yes.
Can you? I choose to. No, you can't. FFG, come on. Maybe. Get this maybe out of here.
A very decisive maybe. I want more FAQs that are just like, maybe. Maybe you could do that. Anyways. Next one says, when the Nashtap pup deploys, does it gain charges equal to the charge limit from the ship with the hound's tooth? No. When the Nashtap pup deploys via emergency deployment, it gains the number of active and inactive charges that the ship with the houndstooth title had before it was destroyed. So this would be for Moralo Eval. Mm-hmm. Starts with two charges, if she dies before using any charges, the Pope would still get both of them. But if she used them both already, the Pope wouldn't get any. Or would get inactive charges, to be exact.
Yeah, exactly. Both sides. But if you've launched the Nashta Pup, you've probably lost already. So, well, I don't know. You know, I'm actually kind of excited to see somebody try it. Like, please, somebody try it. Somebody bring it to the Classic. I'll put you on stream. I'm just curious.
I have fond memories of the YV666, but bad memories of putting Z95s in it.
Well, at least like the Nashta Pump is like super cheap. Like it's like
it's
really,
like 6
really
points, right?
It's dirt cheap, yeah. Oh, so nice.
And then what, the Houndstooth is like 1 or 2?
Yeah.
That's pretty cheap for a ship.
Mm-hmm. It's a Z95 that, I mean, if you can get one more shot, maybe that can win you a game. And finally here, the last question, which was it was breaking the internet a couple weeks ago, is if a ship equipped with Boba Fett cannot be placed at range 0 of an obstacle and beyond range 3 of any enemy ship, what happens? That ship instead defaults to being placed within range 1 of its player's board edge. I find this interesting in two ways. First, I'm glad that they gave a clarification of this because people were losing their minds. It is interesting to note, though, that it might discourage players trying to box out people being able to use their Boba Fett crew, because what you've essentially given your opponent is a initiative 7 placement. Like, after everything is done and you've done your Boba Fett, and let's say you locked out your opponent, they can't do their Boba Fett crew. Now I'm gonna go ahead and just place it in the most advantageous spot that I can.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it would be better to lock them into only being able to Boba onto like one specific asteroid than giving them the whole deployment zone.
Yep. So, gotta keep that stuff in mind.
That's
when you're using
that.
It's
gonna be so weird at Coruscant. Everybody Boba Fettin'.
Boba Fett? Where? Yeah, we talked about that. Now, the next thing we're going to do here, we're going to have some fun. And we're... I'm jumping the gun here. I want to talk about data collection again. What I would appreciate from the community is if in the comments below on YouTube, the chat, it doesn't get saved, so maybe on the Facebook post where I put this in the future or on the streaming post, what are some of the data points you want? Yes, I'm going to have all the lists, but what are some of the stats you would like? Will, what are some kind of standard things I should be posting?
I would say I'm trying to phrase it of like not quite average ship cost, but maybe how many ships are in each list.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be a big one to know if two or three ship lists are viable and like how they're matching up against, you know, 4 and 5 ship lists. And I would probably say, well, it's pretty easy to track, but how games are ending. Where does MOV end up breaking down because of the new half points rule?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would severely doubt that tabling, getting a 200-0 game would even be possible anymore. I mean, you'd really have to do work on that or have like Vader Defender. Maybe Vader Defender could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But most other games, I would be very surprised if you got tabled anymore.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to table people, and it's going to feel even worse if you get tabled. Like, not to bring up the crates again, but I'm going to. They let me in on the fact that like they're going to be bringing back the tabling templates, like when they table podcasters. But they're going to be like really, really nice because it should be really rare, and just make it more embarrassing for when a podcaster gets tabled. So, Let's not get tabled, Will. Let's not do that.
I'm not getting tabled.
That's
right. I'm going for ships. Get them off the board.
Go for the juggler. And we're going to play a little game here, Will. And people in the chat, you can play too. People at home, you can play too. You ready?
I'm ready.
We're going to play some over-under.
Okay.
All righty. So I may or may not be the official X-Wing bookie. There's no money riding on this. I don't want a gaming commission sending me emails. This is all for funsies. It's all for fake currency. Gold Squadron bucks. Okay. For every answer you end up getting correct, you get one Gold Squadron buck. For every answer you get wrong, you get nothing. Okay. The monetary value of Gold Squadron bucks is zero. Here we go. All of the questions here are about the Gold Squadron Classic. If you listen to the Carolina Crates episode that I was on that was published on Monday, we went through these questions too. So, Will, we know that there's going to be 64 players here. I set the over-under for average game length for the last three rounds of the Gold Squadron Classic. So this is we're streaming the top pod last three rounds. Set it at 55 minutes. Are you over? Or are you under?
Over.
He's over. All right. Number of TIE swarms in the Gold Squadron Classic set at 6.5.
Oh, is that half swarm, a mini swarm?
Well, the half is so that you can choose 7 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with under.
Okay. Empire makes up 40% of the lists at the Gold Squadron Classic.
Over.
It's going. Oh, he's going over. He's going over. The number of Luke gunners that will be present at the Gold Squadron Classic set at 1.5.
Under?
Under.
I would give it one. I'll give you maybe one. But.
Alrighty. The number of triple X-Wing squads that will be at the Gold Squadron Classic. This includes squads such as the Trench Run, set at 4.5.
Ooh. I might have to go with under on that.
All right. The number of advanced sensor defenders. Not number, sorry. Let me. I messed this up when I said this on the show. Other show too. The number of lists that will have at least one advanced sensors, the defender. The set at 3.5.
Under.
The number of lists that will have Darth Vader pilot, set at 11.5.
Over.
Oh, he's going over. I like the aggressive. I like the aggressive there. The number of Jumpmaster lists. Number of lists that will have a Jumpmaster in it set at 0.5.
Over.
Oh, he has the faith. He has the faith.
There'll be a Dengar. I know it.
Fantastic. And those are our over-unders for the Gold Squadron Classic. If you played along at home, we'll be giving results for everybody who officially played this week. I'm going to try to figure out how to make it something that you guys can actually do and we can score and have some fun with it in the coming weeks. So that's
isn't that like a Google poll? Do they do like Google polls or surveys?
Yeah, I probably have to do some answers. Yeah, we could probably do some like Google Form, something like that.
Yeah.
I just have to make it so that it like essentially grades it without me having to spend the time doing it, make it automated some or another. I'm sure I could figure it out. Alrighty. We've gotten to the time. We gotta talk about this app, Will. We gotta talk about it.
Oh man. It did a release. that happened. That's that's about my only pro for the pro list is pretty short. Yeah. No, it's not that bad. It it could have been worse.
I don't know how.
I mean, it on launch, the app itself, I actually prefer the website. I think the website actually runs much smoother. The app itself was functioning, and you could build lists, so that succeeded.
Yep. Yeah. So the app was technically released on time. I know that as soon as midnight hit on the 13th in Australia, you saw like, "Where's the app?" Right. The people were so angry. They technically hit their deadline. Over there, we didn't even, I mean, they said it would be released September 13th during that very first, like, reveal, like, conversion kit reveal stream. It was released around 1 o'clock, 12:30 Central Time. And, you know, one of the things I just want to talk about here is the aspect of they released this app, it wasn't ready. I want to talk about the public relations side of this. Just because, you know, as a company, I just feel like it looks bad, right? Like, it just looks bad for your brand if you're turning around and saying, we've been working on this supposedly for X amount of months, and it just doesn't work. Now, I personally don't know anything about software development. Nothing at all. I can't judge. I've done a little bit of coding, very simple coding, but that's about it. But when you're working on a product for such a long time and you end up, you know, you have this release date, I feel like they spent a lot of time working on, like, the way it looked, like I want to say, like, graphically, I think it's really pretty, right? Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. It looks very slick.
Yeah.
Like, looks professionally made. That's very, very true.
Yeah. It's pro, for sure. Like, it looks good. The problem is that it had a bunch of stuff not working. A lot of things have been fixed. A lot of them. Not everything. A lot of them have been. But, yeah, I just... With this big launch of 2.0, I really wish that FFG just would have... Like... We ended up stumbling into the second edition. We're like, whoa, yeah, thank God we're here. We made it. We kind of have stuff. But I know that for myself, I will not be using the official FFG app. Not going to happen. And there are a couple of reasons why. You know, outside of very specific times, like I made myself an account. I did that. I have it as a tab on my computer. I can, or a bookmark. I'll click it when I need to for, like, special events. But other than that, not really going to use it. The biggest gripe I have with it is that it doesn't have offline capability.
Yeah, I think that's so weird that it literally has to load everything that you touch. Mm-hmm. And it takes longer than expected to load all of these things, which I would assume would just be within the app themselves and be able to, like you said, like offline. Like, why can't you just look at it offline?
Yeah, I mean, I understand there's a lot of pictures. They're high-res photos. I get that. But it was Darwin, I think one of our guys, Darwin, he was getting on a plane and he was excited. I downloaded the app. I'm going to play with it on the plane. And you can't. There is no squad building when you're on a plane with the FFG app. There is no, you know, if you're running low on data and you don't have Wi-Fi by you, you probably shouldn't open up that app because that's going to draw in probably some, you know, not like video, but it's going to still draw some good data, especially that it's loading these high def pictures every time. The other issue I have with it is it's kind of, I feel like it's slow to build lists in it. Like, what was kind of your feel on it?
Yeah, that was my, I think the biggest deterrent from me. Now, I've been getting very familiar with yet another squad builder too, and it is instant. You click the thing, click the ship on the drop down, click the pilot, go down to the thing, click another thing, and it loads super, super fast. On the app, that's every time. I think what broke me was the variants, because originally I was looking through the variants. I was like, oh, okay, Battle of Yavin. What kind of pilots are we talking about here? And click. All right, wait for a moment. All right, here's the list of ships. Click another one. Wait for it to load. Select a pilot. It uploads the pilot into my squad builder and then gives me an error message that says it's not eligible. Okay. And then, so I've wasted about 2 minutes here just selecting a pilot I couldn't even choose. And I think that's, it kind of goes with upgrades as well. I think it's sped up a little bit faster on upgrades. But yeah, just even just putting things into your list, from what I'm used to, seems to just take forever. You also can't copy a ship, which I think would be...
Yeah, oh my God. You can't. That was a drag when I was trying to mess with stuff. Like, wait, I got to do the thing. Oh, you know what I find super annoying? Like the scroll... Like, you have to scroll, like, down this giant list to find things rather than being, like, in a drop-down box. Like, I can't... And there's no search. There's, like, no quick search for ships either.
No. Yeah, or pilots or anything.
Yeah, it's very slow. And that's probably the flow of it is bad. Now, you know, one thing, one video I'm actually in the process of writing up a script for is I'm going to do a very extensive breakdown of each of the available squad builders that exist. We're going to talk about the FFG app. I'm going to talk about yet another squad builder. I'm going to talk about all the mobile ones. I'm going to borrow a couple of the Android phones so that way I can do even the Android ones because I don't own one. And we're going to break it all down. We'll do some just really extensive testing of everything and give you guys ratings on them and all that. Like, that's a big project that I have coming up here. Like, yet another squad builder also doesn't have offline capability, but the fact that it's just faster is really the big pull there. Now, I do want to talk about some of the good things, and maybe these are a little bit hidden good things, but... A couple of our guys are really big into proxying upgrades and pilots. And one thing that the desktop version does for you is it gives you full size, or actually it's bigger than full size, high resolution photos of every upgrade. So if you want to test something out with having the pictures of the stuff, if that's your MO, or when we get to something like Epic, and you guys are playing like casual Epic, and you don't want to buy 32 copies of who knows whatever upgrade you want to use, you can print them out yourself. Now, that's not the way that's intended to be used, but because it's essentially built like a website, you can just right-click, save image as. You got this beautiful picture of it. Yeah, that's the app. We'll see kind of how it shakes out. Another thing that I was a little bit disappointed with was the fact that, you know, OP was talking about the fact that they were going to be able to integrate these variants that you were talking about, Will, with the different pieces, you can use different ships and all that, and it was a little bit cumbersome, there was a lot of errors. But I was really hoping for the ability, and I did hear that this wasn't going to be there right away, but I still was like, maybe they'll put something in there. The ability to share a list from opponent to opponent and make it just a little bit faster. Or I know that you can do it like through the text. That works. But more specifically, at events. Like, I really wish you could submit your list electronically. Like, I wish that was a thing. I would use the app if we could do that.
I mean, you had mentioned about public relation on it, and I could only imagine, like, as players, we're upset because we're trying to use the product. I could only imagine how mad FFG is about this, that this was supposed to be their flagship, supposed to carry us through into second edition, and it didn't get off the dock very well. Did the whole Galaxy Quest scraping out of the whole locked the space dock thing. And if they can get it to work right, there's no reason why there shouldn't be it shouldn't be expanded upon. And I don't know why that shouldn't be the future of I'm logged into the tournament on my Asmodee login, and in the tournament it says, like, ding, notification, all right, hey, my pairing's at table 24, sweet, and here's my opponent and here's their list.
Yep.
And that would make tournaments super smooth, if it was just official ones.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Like, just the fact of being able to move it, like you said, smoother, it would make tournaments even go faster. One of our viewers here, who I guess has more knowledge than I do in some of this, points out that in designing things like this, that the graphics are actually the easy part, that the coding is the hard part, which I believe, like, I can do graphics. I can't do coding, so I'm going to tell you that it's probably harder.
I'll be interested to see, because it's a Polish company, from what I understand, that has been creating the app. I'll be interested to see what how that relationship pans out. If they continue to work on the app, if it's outsourced to maybe a different company. If maybe FFG, once the app's up and running, they kind of switch it to in-house only and just maybe have a small team, like one or two people working on the app, and kind of see how that develops just within the people who created it. Because, unfortunately, didn't do a very good job, and it seemed like they had enough time to, but I'm not a coder either, so I'm sure it's much more difficult than what I'm thinking.
Fantastic. So that wraps up our app talk there. Now, what I'm going to hit on here is, we know that Coruscant's coming up. We're super excited. But one thing that keeps coming up in the community is like, well, do we... like, especially once we got the app, right? Is it going to be second edition? What they're labeled the second edition with is like the released waves, or extended. Like, what are we going to have? What are the events going to be? What do I need to buy and all that? And at the Nova Open panel that I moderated, Alex Davey actually addressed this exactly. Now, I'm only going to give you guys this. What is it? It is about 4-minute clip. Okay, so we're going to have radio silence here on Will and our side, and my side here. And Alex addresses it. I'm not going to give you guys all the audio because Nova is going to be releasing a video with all that. And here's that little preview. There's lots of good nuggets in this clip and in the entire hour plus long panel. So let's go ahead. We'll take a listen, and we'll talk about what Alex says here.
And we thought long and hard about this because there are pros and cons to putting the emphasis on one or the other. The simple answer is we want to support both. But since you're asking for more specific details, I can tell you that the majority of sort of like normal tournaments are going to be unlimited. Conversion kits, bring whatever ships you want. Because the fact is that it's a very established, very large community. And most of the players, at least initially, will be players who have collections already. That is going to be, there are going to be many, many tournaments in that format. But there are going to be tournaments that are limited to just a set number of ships. Those are going to be a limited format. And that limited format, there will be a path to Worlds. There'll be a path to the major tournaments. So there will certainly be a way for newer players who only have the newly released ships to play competitively, learn the game, and go all the way to the top and compete with the broader spectrum. So the majority is going to allow people to play with their full collections, but we are definitely going to support that limited format all the way to the top.
Doesn't the all conversion kits open, right? Doesn't that hurt new players? You're just saying how like available means new players. How are you making it so that new players can enter? Like if we were to hold the tournament September 13th, like we're having the first 2.0 store championship on September 22nd here in Maryland.
It's not supposed to be a store championship.
You can push days. So we're having the first 2.0 store championship September 22nd. And we don't know what's legal, so I think we're making it wave one plus the Reaper and whatever.
Yeah, that's like, totally fine.
Yes, but like, so let's say a new player gets into the game, right? They can't buy, they don't buy the conversion kits because they don't have a 1.0, right? They just buy waves as they come out. But if you make an all conversion kits legal, they have to, I guess, know somebody who can bring them something.
Well, so what I'm trying to get at is that, like, it is my sincere hope that stores will decide to run at sort of the store championship level or the smaller tournament level, whatever format they want. You know, if they have a lot of new players, they want to entice them, they can run an event that's just the limited format. I believe, and don't quote me on this, and some of these details are not finalized, so I don't want to get too far out on a limb here and get chewed out by OP, but
Zach Rayburn is listening in right now.
Right, but I guess what I'm trying to convey without going into too many specifics is that limited format that is new player friendly, I want that, and I believe that will be widely accessible on a number of different levels. So it's kind of this balancing act, right? Because you want the existing player base who has particular ship, you know, that are favorite ships. Maybe they don't even own the Wave 1 ships. You know, maybe their favorite squad is a bunch of Sikhs. You know, they don't own any whatever. I mean, that's, you know, not super likely, but but you know what I mean? Like some players may not even have access to the limited format ship pool because it just doesn't appeal to them. They bought a bunch of Star Vipers or whatever.
So we want those
players to have a chance, and we want the new players to have a chance. And my hope is that there's going to be a lot of both formats all over the country, and they both have a path to the top. Yep. So if you're a brand new player, you can get to the very top level just playing limited format tournaments.
But is Worlds going to be unlimited then?
I don't know. I think it's going to involve some more conversations.
So there you go. Lots of good info there from Alex. I think the biggest thing to highlight is the fact that there's going to be a path to World with both what's been labeled now Second Edition, we hadn't had that title yet, and Extended, which is another title we hadn't had yet, what he called Unlimited at the time. So, I mean, I do find it interesting that there is a path on both. What are your thoughts, Will?
I think that's a perfect compromise. Now, I've always advocated that we should all be playing the extended format because I think that it favors the, I guess, returning X-Wing players who are from first edition who have spent so much on these collections and now have to restrict themselves. So I think that should be the main format. But I certainly agree that the second edition only format will help grow the community. And I think it is an essential part of any like small community. As I think he had mentioned it that you kind of had to base it on your community where you're coming from. If all of your older players aren't coming back and it's just newer players, then you have to cater to them, and being able to have that option is fantastic.
Yep. And, you know, it is interesting that, you know, there's a path to Worlds using that second edition format, but again, we don't know where it's going to end up. Right there, he says it's going to involve some more conversation, aka I can't talk anymore. what's the comment there? we'll see how they converge. And that's something that when we find out, it'll be really interesting. And it'll be up for debate whether, you know, like, hey, this person got to Worlds playing only the second edition format and now gets thrown in with the Wolves. Is it fair? I mean, they had time to prepare, so maybe it was fair. Like, there's a lot of different thoughts there.
I would be very interested. As much as I'm advocating extended, I am personally rooting for anybody who's playing just Wave 1 stuff. If you got, you mentioned Triple X. If you're flying X, going to give it to you. I'm rooting for you because you're personally, maybe not hindering yourself, but you've assessed that it is playable and you can get wins with just that particular second edition blisters that have come out.
Yep. So that's the information that we got there. So again, look forward to that Nova Open video. Once it's released, I will of course be spreading that all around and get you guys that information because a lot of cool stuff was talked about on that panel that I moderated. So what have you done with those plans? It's something that Lord Vader would ask us. And we're going to tell you, Vader, what we got going on. We got a bunch of events coming. Will, what's happening this weekend, man?
Let me see. It's the Gold Squadron Classic. September 22nd. That's Saturday.
That's right. Be there or be square. We're going to have it live on stream, guys. Make sure you guys are watching twitch.tv/GoldSquadronPodcast. Okay. You know, and I do need to bring up something. I had somebody ask, if it was my choice, would I rather have them watch it live on Twitch or live on YouTube? Because some of you might not know that we also stream it to YouTube. We split the broadcast. I will tell you a couple of things. The only reason there's two reasons why I also stream to YouTube. There are some people, when they're at work, Twitch is blocked, but YouTube is not. So they can watch through YouTube. The second reason is I have my backup recording going through YouTube because I can make that a private video for myself. Once the stream finishes, it closes off and becomes private. Nobody can view it. And that falls within our no scouting policy for Gold Squadron Podcast. So that's the reason why we do that. But if I had the choice, I would rather have you watch, if you're going to watch live, watch on Twitch. If it was my choice. Because that's the chat that usually is going to be more active. And also when it comes to monetizing it, I actually make more money through like Twitch subscribers and stuff like that than people just watching live on YouTube. So let's do that. You know, Twitch Prime, all that stuff. That's how we're able to do all the things, including these upcoming events I'm about to talk about. The Crossroads Classic number 3. Okay. That's happening. Let me not forget my button here. Ghost Squadron Classic. It's happening at Family Time Games in Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana area. It's going to be a 2-day event. They got side events and all this stuff. It's only an X-Wing event, and it's going to be a second edition event that also uses the extended list building format. This is their third year doing it. They've done a fantastic job, an absolutely fantastic job running these events the last two years, and Gold Squadron is going to be there again streaming live. I will probably play for this event because I would have been streaming now for like 2 second edition events in a row, and I'm going to be itching by then. But we'll definitely have the stream going live so that you guys can watch. And of course, once we get to the cut and things like that, we'll see who's available to stream for you guys. Registration is open for that. You could find it on Facebook. They have links set up there. You can also find it through the Family Time Games website. And also the Minock Open happening November 3rd. Registration is open for that, but your window to get the bonus items has closed. They had those cool coins and binders available for anybody who signed up before the 15th. If you snoozed, you lost on that. But you could still sign up for the Minock Open. So if you want to go ahead, get signed up, hang out with us there. I will be flying to California to stream that event for the community. That is also an extended list building format. I'm super excited to be just a part of all this. And of course, we're going to be streaming from Coruscant, and that is October. I am forgetting the date. Will, help me out. When's Coruscant?
October 5th.
There you go.
5th, maybe? Yeah. I don't know. It's the first weekend in October.
Yeah, there you go. First weekend in October. So in the next 2 months, you got four major events happening for X-Wing that Gold Squadron will be streaming for you. We got the Gold Squadron Classic. We got the Gold Squadron Classic. We have Coruscant. Then the week after that, we have the Crossroads Classic. And then we have the Minock Open. And then after that, we have some system open stuff that I can't talk about, but I'm talking about it anyway. Be ready. It's coming. Dates are coming, all that stuff. So that's going to be super, super exciting. So, Will, any shout-outs, anything you want to say to anybody before we sign off here?
I'm excited to see everybody at the Classic. You've been hyping it up, and I'm pretty excited. Actually, like beyond the food and the alcohol refreshments, I'm most excited for those big round tables. Man, give me some board space, because I like to be free on that. I'm not a clean player. I don't have one of those fancy trays. My templates are going all crazy, so I'm excited for that. But it should be a great time. I haven't seen everybody since like store championship season. Since I think the Gold Squadron,
yep,
store champ. So it'd be nice to come out and see everybody again.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Again, it's always great to have the community all together. And for those of you who are going to be part of this Gold Squadron Classic, guys, we're going to make it something you will never forget, and we're going to continue to build on it. And you will be able to say that you were at the very first Gold Squadron Classic. We'll see you this weekend. Make sure to tune in live. Stream should start around 10 a.m. If everything's running on time, that's what we're going to hope. 10 a.m. Central time, by the way. You can watch our live X-Wing events and content at twitch.tv/Gold Squadron Podcast. Don't forget to hit that Twitch Prime button. It's literally free money, guys. And our next broadcast is this weekend. You can watch our X-Wing videos and replays of our streams on our YouTube channel. Look up GoldSquadronPodcast.com. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and hit that bell for notifications. Also, likes on videos are also encouraged. Go ahead, just hit it, smash it, do it. It won't hurt, I promise. And for those of you who enjoy our content and want to help us continue to bring us content, travel from coast to coast, bring you guys X-Wing content, go to patreon.com/Gold Squadron. You get some awesome swag while doing it. And I want to take a special time to say thank you to Dominic Brown for becoming a new Patreon subscriber, and to Chris Maka for increasing his pledge. Thank you so much, guys. You are fantastic. If you become a patron, I'll give you a shout out as well. And a shout out to, you know, we only just started doing this, shout out patrons. I want to shout out all of our patrons. And maybe I will make a ridiculous video where I literally read off everybody's name and say thank you. I might do that. I think I'm going to do it. I got to find time to do it, but I'm going to do that. That's going to be fun. So one more time, for William and all of Gold Squadron, my name is Dio Morales, Gold Squadron. What I was going to say is during that episode, Jeremy Chambly makes this joke. Or was it Chris? Was it Chris? Or, I think it was Jeremy who makes this joke about Dion. You should make a new Patreon level of because they were okay. The story starts with I was putting my daughter to bed, and they wanted to hype the Gold Squadron Classic. And I was like, I'm putting my daughter to bed, taking care of family time. I'll be there in a few. And they made this joke like, new Patreon level, Dion reads you a bedtime story. And I was like, okay, I'll play along. So if you go to GoldSquadronPodcast.com, you can literally buy me reading you a bedtime story. Okay, I will record book of my choosing. It's $100, but there's a coupon code, you got to find it, to get 40% off of that. And I will read you a book of my choosing. It is important. If you want it your choice, we could negotiate price. But I had to make it my choosing because somebody would be like, oh, here, read me, you know, this 30-chapter novel. Thank you. Get my $100 worth. Not happening.
50 Shades of Grey or something?
Yeah, exactly. Or something really raunchy and weird. So that was weird. Nobody's taking me up on it. I posted it on the Crate page. You know, all these Crate listeners, they think they're so funny and they're ha 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 ha. Like, come on. Who's going to, you know, what they say on their cast, right? No balls, right? No balls. Where's the balls on the crates? Come on. Come on. Let's see if anybody's willing. If you want it, and here's the thing, I put a little description box on there, and if you want it, like, for your kids, like, I will, like, this is legit, like, I really will put in the time and effort to make this really nice, and the Gold Squadron Wholesomeness Guarantee will be in there. If you want ambient sound, like, when I put my daughter to bed, we actually have, like a ocean white noise machine that goes on in the background. It's real nice. Lights are low. It's real relaxing. So it's good stuff.